I've already hit the fucking microphone.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That tracks it's, for it random
is,
thoughts.
It is us. We have returned. We've taken a few weeks off. I got older. I made it to 45. And he showed up with a birthday present, a very expensive camera. Thank you for contributing to the cause.
To the Stretch Goose cause.
Yes. Because
we know for fuck's sake we're not using it on random thoughts, but that's cool.
No, we can't. It is for, it is 100% going to be for my video adventure that attempting.
Nah, you got it. You got some nice gear going on in here, so.
I'm trying to get it to only cover from the neck up because I don't want them to see the rest of my fucking flabby ass.
Jeez. Well, let's just start out with self-deprecation, don't we?
We have to.
Well, why not?
I've had a few ham sandwiches too many. I'm supposed to go to this wedding this coming weekend after the Super Bowl. And
weddings.
And I did some fitting, and my God, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I felt really bad for myself. Like, I used to be a crisp 220. And my favorite, that was my weight.
Svelte, as they say.
Yes, and now I'm a blundering 255.
Those potatoes are showing through the bag or
oh
what?
Oh, my God. I should just be drinking fucking beer to justify the action.
Right?
It's like, dude, a sack of potatoes doesn't even cover it. I'm just mad at myself. And I have work to do. But that's been my birthday week. How was your... What were you doing?
Working my ass off, man.
Oh, okay. You were being productive. I was doing something entirely different.
No, just... It's been a hard last couple of weeks. Tons of projects, project management, installations. Trying to do, you know, the podcast. Well, mine anyway. There's a lot going on with that. You know, multiple guests, booking guests, coordinating guests, getting guests on the schedule, committing back and forth, building the website.
I know.
There's just a lot going on.
I know. I checked the show notes of one of your episodes. I was like, website? Buy me a coffee? What the fuck?
Yeah, buy me a damn coffee.
Fucker's progressing.
Well, and that's eventually going to be random as well. The thing with this podcast, I we have listeners and... It's great. It's just, this is more of a collaborative thing for us. Like, we try to be consistent, but it's really when we have time. Cause like Stretch Goose is growing a lot after you went back to your old school daily routine.
I know.
So you're gaining a ton of followers and, you're doing a really good job. So I can't wait to see you do your video proponent on that. I think that'll fit you really well. That style of show. I think you're gonna do really good with that.
All right. Well, thanks for patting me on the back.
But you will. It will. I always told you that video for Stretch Goose, like what you do for Stretch Goose, you need that video proponent, like, or that component.
Right.
And I think that once you get a handle on how you want to set the video side up with your cameras, your angles and whatnot, I think it's going to be good. I think it'll be really good. You're going to hate the editing, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah. It's going to ruin the daily show. It's going to turn into a fucking 24 hour, 365 day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll pay for no pay and no pension.
You'll get the flow and you'll start to get the, you know, shortcuts of how to do things and you'll get it down.
Sure.
Always growing pains.
No pay, no pension. That's the mantra of this company.
No pay, no live.
No, I like no pay, no pension.
Okay.
That's better. I only have one video I wanted to play. There's various versions of this motherfucker, but Cat Williams had to deal with a heckler. Now, if you are into comedy, you know that once a heckler gets going, it is the job of the comic to beat the shit out of him and shut him up as fast as possible. And I know there's a lot of conservatives jumping on this going, oh, Cat Williams is turning to our side. No, he's dealing with a heckler. And I'm just going to play these 3 minutes, and we'll jump in and out as it goes. It's pretty interesting. This is a clip from uploaded on X by Amari King.
Because I'm saying, you think I'm just in Mexico, and I'm defending America. Because you, are you Mexican? Do you know where This ain't Mexico. It used to be Mexico, motherfucker. And now it's Phoenix, goddammit. Yeah. I bet you don't leave here and go to Mexico, motherfucker.
Damn.
Go get you some chicken speech.
Pause it. Pause it. Now, I this is the first time watching the whole clip. I just seen it come up on my feed one day. And you're right. There's a lot of people claiming, you know, MAGA this, that, yeah, whatever. I'm getting tired of that shit, by the way. Can't we just watch something objectively and just applaud someone for standing up for America? I mean, I know he's dealing with a heckler, but
yeah,
this is a bigger issue that we have is why, especially, and I'm not anti-Mexican, as everyone knows, but why is it mostly people from Mexico here that were born here, right? They always claim Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. They have an allegiance to Mexico. And then they try to tell you this is Mexican land. And then Cat's right. He goes, no, motherfucker. It was.
It's now Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. I read about this a while back, by the way, and I pulled it up just because I wanted to make the point. But the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, signed in 1848. This treaty ended the Mexican-American War, and Mexico ceded 55% of its territory, including California, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and parts of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Wyoming. Well, Mexico also gave up Texas and recognized the Rio Grande as the border. The U.S. paid $15 million and assumed Mexico's debt as well, by the way. So they took Mexico's debt on, paid him $15 million and got all this land. But this was back in 1848. The Mexican government made a deal with the U.S. government to just squash everything. The U.S. government came in, took care of all the debt they had.
So
that land is no longer Mexico. We can get into the semantics and the details of how that came about. But in the end, Mexico decided to make the deal with the United States government and ceded the land. So
why? But
it's not
why,
Mexico.
But why did they make the deal? Because they had six shooters and the Americans had cannons.
That's part of it?
Yeah. They had horses and...
It doesn't matter. The deal was made. The deal was made regardless.
I'm just saying they were at a militarily disadvantaged position, which is why that war ended as fast as it did. But, I mean, I know the MAGA boys are searching and constantly searching for a friend in the entertainment space, you know, from Rogan and all that. But take it for what it is. You know, the guy said some shit, and as any comic does, they go to town with it because they know that it's an opportunity to further the engagement with the audience, basically. So. That's how I took it. It's just
it could be, or he could just, because he was just stating earlier in his bit that he was defending himself and saying, you know, he doesn't claim to be disadvantaged,
right?
But, and then that guy spoke up and had to say something, and then that's when he jumped in. So we don't know. We didn't see the whole bit. Obviously, comics make a point through comedy because laughter, it's easier to like break down the wall and make it palatable to get the point across. They're literally just trying to get people to think. And that's great, but
it's still funny. I don't give a shit.
Exactly. It's funny. Of course, it's funny. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
People need to fucking lighten up. And yes, you're right. It's not Mexico anymore, dude. It's America. Why don't you love the country you're in? I'm tired of all these protests and flags, like people waving flags of foreign countries. Come on.
Okay, protest guys. You have your right in America to protest. I fucking get it. But why do you choose the freeway? Like, you know you can die, right? Like, no one's going to... Well, we did get some dummies to stop, but there are people that won't.
Well,
and that happened in BLM. Some people got run the fuck over. So yeah, it's like,
and listen, that right to protest, I'm not going to dive into it on this show because we're not, that's not what we usually do. No,
that is a world ablaze topic.
But I'm going to tell you right now, that right to protest is subject and limited to certain peoples. And it all depends on your immigration status and whether or not you're a citizen. See, a lot of people think that all constitutional rights extend to everybody regardless and equally, but it doesn't. There's certain rights that are afforded to even if you're not a citizen, but even the First Amendment, by the way, the free speech,
yeah,
doesn't necessarily extend equally and the same to non-citizens. A lot of people don't even realize that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the moment. Obviously, you're not going to vet all 10,000 idiots. No,
but
freeway.
You're talking about protest. That usually falls under free speech. So that's, right. And I'm saying that that's not always the case that applies to everybody legally, by the way. Like if the government came in and said, oh, you're all undocumented and you're here illegally, you don't have a right to protest. And by the way, since you're not a citizen or legally here, you're also protesting against our great nation. Therefore, this is considered either an invasion or a terrorist act. Just saying, if you want to get technical. I'm sure we're beyond that in modern times, but it has to be said and pointed out because there's a lot of ignorance when it comes to this type of subject.
Okay. Let's go back to the jokes.
You don't learn that in school, do you, folks?
Back to the jokes.
No, nigga, do you know where you at, nigga?
Now he's just fucking taunting.
Yeah, now he's just
he's just trolling him.
Motherfuckers think they can live in this country and then still be allegiance to another fucking country.
Exactly what we're talking about.
If you love another country more than you love America, motherfucker, then get the step into that bitch.
So this is obviously cut even more because he probably ripped him for 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure this was half a set at this point. Why would you choose Cat Williams to troll?
American homies, Cuba,
to my Mexican American homies.
You know what, though? You want to pause it? It's... At that point, you know, he's just digging in, right?
Yeah, he just.
But
going.
His statement, like to my Mexican American homies, I mean, I'm glad he said that because it's like it's recognizing. Yeah, I love that you're from Mexico and you have a strong tie to your heritage, but you're also admitting that you're an American.
Yeah,
but, and you support America. His point's well made, I think. You know,
I mean, for that guy to jump in and go, "You're standing on Mexican land," it's like, no, bro,
no, don't. Let's not even.
Don't even swing the bat in a Cat Williams event anyway.
No, it's just not going to happen. I don't even understand why this was controversial, though.
Nah.
It shouldn't be. I mean.
Well, it was taken. We know why it became a thing is because the MAGA conservative side, you know, they're looking for a buddy.
And yeah, maybe.
They're just constantly trying to draft a guy out of the.
They're becoming disillusioned with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, it's like, we need a new guy.
They're tired of Ben Shapiro.
I mean, 9 million views alone.
Charlie Kirk.
This.
I mean, yeah, yeah, you know, everyone's just tired of the same old,
yeah, I mean, it,
same old fucking
gotta
shit.
Get, yeah, got to get a new guy. Got to be somebody else. Got another minute of this.
Oh,
you look at his that dude's voice.
He's like, motherfucker. Hey, you opened your mouth, bro.
She's laughing and he
what the fuck?
He took an eagle and just dropped it in front of
giant eagle statue right in front of him. Oh my god. Oh, look at that stare. He's all staring at him. That's the best, dude. He's the best at this shit.
You don't know what my family did for this country, bitch.
Ooh.
We were slaves, bitch.
Y'all we were slaves.
Damn. Jesus.
You just do it as landscaper.
Damn. That's going hard there, Cat.
That is brutality.
Oh. All right, we're done.
Yeah, I got to try to stop that shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's why we have editing equipment in this show. Well, anyway, there's your minute right there, guys.
That's crazy.
He's like, we were slaves. We did more here. You were a landscaper.
There's a lot to say on that subject, but I don't know.
He fucking had fun with it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he took that dude to the woodshed twice.
But, you know, points made. I mean, is it right to make a life in another country and then oppose that country and then not support it and then claim the country has to be dismantled and torn apart? No. You don't do that.
No.
I'm not saying that's what that guy did. I think the guy, there's two ways to look at that. The guy either made the statement knowing that Cat would go off, or he was serious and Cat just fucking checked him hard.
I don't know.
Either way, it was good. It was entertaining. It was fun. What else do we got? Let's do a subject change.
Why not?
Yeah, politics are done. Well, kind of, but let's go. Let's go to something else.
No, we need to go to the Trudeau.
Ooh, my favorite. This has been a good one lately.
Trudeau says, this is from Fox News. The reason I keep citing things is because I've been listening to Cuomo and I don't want to be the ski hat guy with the big microphone.
Well, you always cite where you got it from.
So I got to like really be honest or something.
No, everyone. Well, I cite. You've always cited.
I know.
Talk about Mr. Cuomo, pro Cuomo later. Fuck that guy. I'll just say it now. Fuck him. We'll get back to him.
Fucking. Anyway, so
Cuomo, fuck you. All right.
So Trump has for weeks suggested that Canada should be the 51st state, and while opinion has been divided about whether he is serious or just trolling, Prime Minister Trudeau has reportedly said that it's serious. Ooh. In a closed-door meeting with Canadian business and labor leaders, Trudeau reportedly affirmed that Trump's ambitions aim of annexation is real. He is quoted as saying, Mr. Trump has it in mind that the easiest way to do it is to absorb the country. And it is a real thing in my conversations with him on. And there's your quote.
I think Trudeau is just waffling and he's spineless because there's never any source outside of Trudeau saying it when he's talking, I noticed. Like, where's the evidence Trump said that? Trump has never publicly said without it being obvious he's joking. I mean, if you don't know how Trump acts or get his personality by now, then you're just looking for problems. Like, you're going out of your way to create a problem. Everything Trump has done was to troll him. And this is a contradictory statement because just not long ago, February 3rd, after that whole, hey, I'm going to impose tariffs on Saturday since you want to be a little bitch, Trudeau. And then the Canadian dollar tanked to 69 cents per dollar.
Yes.
All of a sudden, Trudeau goes, I had an excellent conversation with Trump, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to enforce a border. I'm going to put a fentanyl czar in 24/7 eyes on the border, and we're going to do 100, whatever billion. And it's like, oh, okay. So it went from that to all of a sudden today, Trump is serious. He really wants to take Canada. Like, shut the fuck up. How does it go from that previous statement where you have evidence of both Trump and Trudeau coming to an agreement to now, Trump's serious. He wants to invade Canada. He wants to take it. He's going to do it.
What are your thoughts on what a lot of the other side has been saying, that Trump did not win these negotiations because both Mexico and Canada have agreed to this type of framework before with Biden and with, I think a few years with Obama, things like that. So he didn't really win the deal.
I think
whatever.
That's reaching, and they're just trying to take the win away from the Trump administration. Just because deals have been made previously doesn't mean that those deals continue. So something happens that those deals go away, right?
Yeah.
And it's because either a new leader or a new president. Now, explain to me what deal was actually ever Donald Trudeau that was in favor of the U.S. We give Canada money, okay? We fund 200 damn countries with our money, period. No one else is sending money to the USA. They may in business deals, but that's buying products. It's not just we're going to give you money for whatever programs or social programs or, you know, disasters, whatever. No one does that. We're the only ones giving every other country, it seems like, in the world money. So while the other side can say this, I think it's bullshit because they're just trying to take the Trump, the wins away from the Trump administration. Trump is out of the, this term is crazy because he is on a rampage, man.
He's got a case.
Media can't keep up with him.
That's because he's got a case of the fuck it's.
Right. He's like, I'm getting it done regardless. I know I'm not coming back, so whatever.
Might as well.
And the deals that he made, like, okay, nobody thought in the world, all these masterful PhDs economists said tariffs don't work, they never work, and you know, you're gonna isolate yourself from the global market, but guess what? It fucking worked. I don't know how, but it did. Canada caved, Mexico caved, Colombia caved, the EU is backtracking. The only one who's not obvious is China. They're just never going to.
Well, they know they're big enough to absorb some of it.
Yes and no. It'll come back down to a negotiated deal. And that's what people don't understand about Trump. They take him for face value when he's just, this is how I see Trump. He says shit and it's like a stress test, right? I'm gonna poke the glass with this metal pin in multiple spots and see where it cracks. That's what he's doing. And then when he finds that vulnerability, he leans into it. So say what you will, he's getting things done in an unorthodox manner, but he's getting it done. And it's crazy that, as you say, the other side, they don't want to give him credit for anything. But look, if you're putting your country first, how is that bad, number one? And he's not abandoning the world. I mean, we're still coming through on our obligations to support all of our allies.
Okay. And yeah.
Trudeau is just trying to stay relevant because he knows he just got owned by Trump.
Well, he's on his way out on the next election. He's already said he's resigning.
He already stepped down. Well, yeah, he resigned anyway, yeah.
Well, he's resigned, but he can't leave until somebody comes in. So
conveniently, right?
There's a... Yeah. I don't know how Canada does. They
still can't find someone.
I don't know how Canada does it, but there's supposed to be an election coming, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But as far as Trudeau himself, he really needs to, like, not be involved, like, stop.
He needs to shut up.
And just sit down and wait for the next guy, because the more he does, I think is more damaging to Canada. Just stop playing with the toys.
It can be damaging, yeah.
Yeah, just sit the fuck down, dude. Speaking of the other side, tensions... Oh, wait, gotta cite my sources. I apologize, Chris Cuomo, hold on. this is from El Pais USA. Never heard of this publication. It might not be true. I apologize, Chris Cuomo. Sheinbaum responds to the total elimination of cartels announced by the U.S. by saying, quote, let them start with their own country. Because we have cartels. Tensions between the U.S. and Mexico since Trump returned to the White House present a new chapter every day. President Claudia Sheinbaum responds on Friday morning to the latest, which deals with the fight against the cartels. The U.S. Department of Justice has asked for speed in the judicial proceedings against drug lords, as well as the total elimination of the criminal organizations. In what seems to be a common desire lies a new bilateral crisis since the war against organized crime posed in these terms would imply interference by U.S. agencies and security forces in Mexican territory. And of course, Sheinbaum's reaction in her morning presser was, let them start with their own country. Don't you have cartels over there? Don't they have organized crime over there? They have a lot to do in the United States, she said.
Well, that is a fucking stupid statement.
Well, we just flew a jet over there. We don't give a fuck.
That is a stupid statement. Listen, the U.S. has done more to eliminate organized crime than Mexico has ever did. Mexico's been a corrupt country for years.
Yeah, they're actually in the government.
Yeah. Remember when they when the U.S. took down the Italian mob? How about when they disbanded the Aryan Brotherhood out of Texas, which was a huge organized crime unit?
Yep.
What about that? How about what's going on now with and it's a dumb statement I say because a lot of these organized when he refers to cartel he's talking about foreign gang organizations or organized gang organizations. Just as they just arrested, well, earlier, I forgot what the exact date was, 50 Tren de Aragua members out in Colorado, and they just arrested another 100 of them. And this is interesting because these are very savage gangs from El Salvador.
Yeah.
So that's what Trump's referring to. And her comment is, well, just worry about your own country. What, are you not wanting to get control of the cartels in Mexico? Is this kind of confirming that, yeah, she was putting place of power by the cartels? Is that why she's backing down? I don't understand how you would not want to eliminate an organization that is so violent, that traffics human beings, takes young kids and makes them sex slaves. I mean, none of her statements make sense. It makes you wonder, where is she actually coming from? Who's she protecting?
Well, she's probably an employee.
possibly. Allegedly, maybe.
Newly elected Pam Bondi has called for a total elimination of cartels and considering, according to sources, appointing a special envoy for fentanyl trafficking in Mexico to strangle the economy and business development of the organized crime. But the possibility expressed by Trump on occasion in different terms, the U.S. security agents could operate on Mexican soil or extradite criminals, opens a new front with Mexico. The capture of Zambada, I don't know who the hell these people are. I'm assuming Zambada's a guy in charge of shit over there in the cartels. But he got caught last summer, opened a wound that is yet to heal between the two countries because the cartels were mad about that. He is reportedly the godson of El Chapo and blah, blah, blah. So, Sheinbaum is basically saying, don't come over here, essentially. And worry about yourself. That's what I'm gathering out of this gigantic article.
I think she's just trying to save face and stay strong when she knows that.
Stay strong, Sheinbaum.
She's weak. She's a weak leader thus far, but she's trying to look like a strong leader. But to deny a partnership with another country who's willing to help you eliminate a problem that is deeply rooted in your own country and society, that just doesn't make sense. Especially one that harms their own country, like literally harms their own country.
Dude, I don't.
In other news.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
In other news.
Here's something. Okay. All right.
Do we got any fun stuff?
Actually, I do. I do. I do.
This is random thoughts. Let's do some randomness.
I do. Okay, I actually do. And I'm going to go to this post just to go. Here we go. All right. I'm going to read this entire post. It's from Abby Roth. All right, Chris Cuomo, don't get mad.
Uh-oh.
I think this is actually quite interesting, and this could spark a good 30-minute discussion.
Is this her response to Chris Cuomo?
No. Oh. The subject matter is not even close.
Oh.
This is probably...
Well, you brought his name up. That's why I asked.
Well, because he's always wants you to cite your sources, and
dude, we're going
to
be... Okay,
and he doesn't want you to wear the hat and the big microphone.
Hold on.
Be a podcast profiteer.
Hold on.
Quote, unquote.
I got to understand things really quick before you move on. So for about 2 years or so, we were adamant about calling out the Tates on their bullshit. And we're still not done with that.
Right.
So is Cuomo the next target?
Sure.
And all because he opened his mouth, right, about podcasters and how we're illegitimate and we're dumb and we don't know what we're doing and crying because he's not getting the attention he used to.
Yes, we have. Yes.
Oh, big baby Cuomo. He mad.
In a couple random episodes, I have referenced Cuomo, and I have brought up that in a few of his episodes, he has gone bananas about podcasting and how he is there to balance the space.
It's fine. Listen. And I'm good with it. I just want to understand if this is part of our mission now. That's all.
And he keeps putting out this troll of a guy with a ski hat and an oversized microphone. Tim Pool. I'm assuming it's Tim Pool, but talking about how most of them don't properly source and all that bullshit. So I've been sourcing and saying, I apologize, Cuomo. I'm doing my best. That's all.
Okay, one more thing.
I'm doing my best.
I love when they always say, cite your sources, but then they always have an anonymous source.
All right. That does drive me nuts. If you right? got, I know they protect the source. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want them hurt.
But I just saw it in my source, but they're anonymous.
I can do this shit all day. Sources say that aliens are going to attack us tomorrow.
I have an anonymous source that says the world is going to end in exactly 20 minutes.
Sources tell me that the deep state is giving out $1 million checks tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Sources say Marvel Comics is no longer going to exist. They're going to close down, sell off to DC, and then we're going to finally get those fucking crossovers we've been asking for.
I have an anonymous source that told me that the Matrix is real. We are living in it.
Yes, and you are all taking the red
pill. Please unplug. Everybody unplug now. All right, so we cited sources. They're anonymous, but we have sources.
I know.
All right.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. I'm working on a story right now with like 3,000 anonymous sources.
Awesome. But you have sources.
Yes.
So it's valid.
Of course.
It's a validated,
the story is
vetted
real.
Story.
The story is real.
Right.
Just like Adam Schiff and his whistleblower that suddenly showed up.
Adam Schiff's. All right, let's get to your post. Let's get to your post.
Did you see that?
Let's just get to your post.
Did you? You had to see it because of the content of your show.
The Russian collusion, non-collusion, alleged collusion. God. I have collusion. I don't have collusion.
I think I played it. What video?
I don't have the evidence. I can't bring you the evidence. But let's impeach Trump. He's wrong.
I think it was episode 105. I played the Ratcliffe thing. He's like, this dude's a fucking another source. To another impeachment inquiry. It's another guy that one knows. What is Adam Schiff doing?
It's ridiculous. Fucking anyway, let's go to this. Let's go.
All
to
right.
Your,
all
let's
right.
go to your post.
Let's
we,
go
we
to
digress.
The, let us let have the let,
let's whoop. Reel it back.
Let us have this. Okay. Abby Roth wrote this post, and I thought she's got a point. Can we discuss the smut novels women are reading? Pornography is not good for men. We can recognize that. But for some reason, smut has become completely normalized for women. Women are literally reading graphic sex scenes in bed next to their husbands. Can you imagine a man doing the same thing with pornography on his phone and it just being considered okay? Pornography creates completely insane and unrealistic standards for what sex is, and smut works the same way. The relationships are not realistic purposefully, because then how would it make a good plot? And the men are idealized beyond comprehension, and the sex scenes themselves only set women up for disappointment. She's got a point. I think she's got a point. Women's version of porn is those graphically sex-described novels that they just read right in front
and
of you.
And posters of Jason Momoa.
Yeah, and they just read it in front. Or they bitch about what men are doing. The vast majority of men that are roped into the whole jerking off to some woman on camera is bad and all this bullshit. But then women will go out and watch 50 Shades of Grey, get all excited, come home, and then want to, you know, have the moment with their other half. It's kind of the same shit, but the women are always viewing it as it's not. And I just thought this post was kind of like,
well, there's always a double standard between the sexes. Women think that their version of what they believe is sex and relationships is not a real world version of it at all. It just isn't. It's a constant fantasy world that they want to live in.
It's a shitty movie, is what it is.
Yeah, it's a fantasy world. It's a fucking fantasy world. And what kind of sex do you want, ladies? Really, you want to get choked out with a little ribbon, little silk scarf? You want to go, oh, a little too tight. Oh yeah. And then when you get in the bedroom, if a man does that to you for real, you're like, get the fuck off me. Like, what do you want? What do you want? You want the rough or you don't? What do you want? Oh, you want the burning candle on your foot with the wax dripping? Oh, that's so sexy and sexual. And then, okay, let me go grab the torch. No, no. Why? What changed? You know, so yeah, it's crazy. It's like, you can read your novel. So why can't I fucking shoot one off in the sheets? I don't know. Like, we're both getting satisfied, I guess. And they're right. Look, porn is dangerous for men. The more it just leads to chafing of the dick. Okay, I'm just saying. You do too much of it.
Well,
I know. I'm being silly.
Supposedly, it also hurts the mind.
Well,
it's a psychological destruction.
Anything that's addictive and that you become addicted to will hurt the mind. And the point being about you know, these smut novels and then actual, you know, camera porn. It just puts the wrong image or view of what that is in your head.
So for a woman,
what about the person who knows it's fantasy and they're like, fuck it, I just need a little fucking motivation. I just need to wake up the general over here. What if it's that? Well,
but.
Nothing.
All right. Well,
I'm just asking the question. What if?
Okay. All right, Jesse Ventura. I'm just asking the question. Jesse Ventura. So written form is okay. Video form is not. And that's
right.
That's kind of the point she was making. I don't know about all that fucking shit you just flew into, but okay.
Come on, man.
So if I get
look, if we're gonna talk about life, let's talk about it.
The only bad thing is it chafes the dick. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I
what
heard
if you only
possibly
need,
could.
What if you only need it for motivation to wake the general up?
I mean, if you will, if I'm just.
First off, I don't even want to understand why you call it a general, but. Okay, that did not.
That's the commander in pants, bud. The commander in pants.
Moving on. We're just not. I'm not even going to entertain that because that
you don't have to.
That discussion did not go. I was hoping for a little more of a.
Oh,
philosophical, but.
No, I just call it. I just call it how it is. I just call it how it is.
Moving on.
I don't know how I'm going to make an audiogram out of this episode.
You don't. You just fucking leave it.
Just here's the link. Full disclosure, you've been warned.
We do not need to video this episode. just fucking leave that shit alone.
Would that be considered soft porn? No? All
right. Written form? Yes.
Anyway.
All right.
Is that Gavin Newsom over there? Are you reading another Newsom story?
No, this is a headline across the crawl here, but he is under fire for crime surges in California, and he is creating low-income housing for the very rich Pacific Palisades.
Interesting.
Because that's suddenly a requirement. But we won't go there.
All right. Let's not.
Moving on. All right.
We should have like an open tab segment. Remember when do you remember when Bert Kreischer did that on his podcast for a while?
You want to copy the Bert?
No, I don't want to copy him, but I'm talking about for like the new stuff we do.
Yeah.
Because like his idea was open tabs based on his searches and what he was into. But ours could definitely, because we have a lot of tabs always open for different news stories.
Yeah.
So it would be different. It would be directed more towards like current events and news versus, hey, I wonder what spaghetti's made out of. You know, the pasta. How do you, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, his open tabs are dumb.
They are.
I don't give a fuck how. Yeah, we all know how to make mac and
cheese. Ooh, sexy feet. Ooh. Like, ooh. All right, Bert. All right.
Come on. No, we're good. We're good. We're good.
Yeah. But no, not that style of open tabs. I'm talking about our style.
All right. Well, if you're into video games, the PlayStation Network is down. All right, there's one. There's
breaking
one.
News. PlayStation yeah, Network is no there, longer working.
Right now, it's broken. There's one tab. Fuck it. Let's go. What else we got? Weather. Let's go to the weather tab.
Oh, we're really getting random. Let's go.
Something about
California's the, looking the, good right now. Central yeah, Valley. All right.
The sun is out or some shit.
All right. All sun's right. up. What's kind of cold? Next.
That's next tab. We are going to We are going to put this bullshit into practice.
Let's
right
go.
Now. Let's travel for a little bit. Singapore looks like Singapore. San Francisco is still San Francisco.
No breaking news on any of it, huh?
No, no.
Tokyo. No sights I must see. Yeah. None of it. I think you got to click one of those squares to get the info.
I don't really want to, but okay. Seattle. What are we doing in Seattle? It's $150 to sleep, $300 to fly, $60 for the fucking Space Needle.
All right. Well, all right. Listen, that triggers something though. Why are hotels so freaking expensive these days, man?
Well, because Trump's inflation, sir. So I've heard.
Oh, Trump's inflation.
So I've heard it's an issue now.
Just within the first 2 weeks of his office is the reason why everything's so expensive?
Because fucking eggs, man.
Yeah, eggs.
Let me get
that's my right. new side hustle. Have you seen that? That's a movement, dude.
Oh, everybody.
Are you an egg hustler?
Dude, everybody is just.
I'm a fucking egg
pallets
hustler.
Are leaving Costco right now.
All right, everybody, stay till the end. I've got a special code. I'm winking right now that you can use to get your eggs. It's okay. Yeah.
Why is the Super Bowl $4,000
fresh off the truck? The Super Bowl. Exactly. That's what I was trying to get at. What travel? Super Bowl tickets.
The Super Bowl ticket concerts. Is $4,000 nosebleeds.
Why?
What am I?
Why? Like why?
Because I'm watching the same.
And why do people pay that? Like they should stop supporting that.
Well, it's a corporation thing. It's not really fans anymore. So they pay the money, but
In the nosebleeds?
Yeah.
So everybody there are corporate employees of something?
Some kind of deal, yeah, for the most part. There's no fans really. I mean,
that's bullshit, right?
Some do burn their credit card, no doubt, but I don't get it. But if you want to go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, you still have a chance, $148 a night. $400 to fly, and then you got to come up with the $4,000 to get into the door.
$148 where? I mean, that's suspect. What kind of hotel are we staying in?
Listen, dude, this tabs bit is only showing me the average.
I know.
For a three-star.
Yeah.
Not a five.
A three-star online means no star.
Here's a four-star for $212 a night. Let's get into this.
Just doesn't sound right.
Here's another four-star, $278 a night. $255 a night. You know, let's try to book one for the Super Bowl. What do we got?
Now let's get the, you know what? Exactly. Let's get and which one is this? What hotel is this?
The Sheraton.
Okay.
In the heart of the city.
Not the super high end, but definitely not entry level, right? So let's see. What are we getting for that one something?
One king bed?
Well, do I have a view? I require a view. Do I get a view?
Here we go. Some photos.
I need details. What are we getting?
That
this could be your room.
Just that.
All right, just go through the process. This seems suspect. I mean, unless they're desperate to book rooms, I don't know.
Reserve my fucking room, bitch.
Or these are what's left after they sold, booked all the rooms out earlier, right?
All the good shit.
Yeah, this could be. Come on, let's see what we're getting here. Wait, where did my view go?
What do you mean? It's the same room. I just have to cycle through the fucking pictures again.
Yeah, you have. I got to confirm. I got to make sure. All right. Anyway.
There's your view.
Do I get free breakfast with this?
Is there any perks? You get a flat screen.
No. Does anyone watch TV in the room?
You get a coffee maker.
No one ever uses.
You get a fire extinguisher.
Hmm.
You get a lockbox. You get a laptop lockbox. You get toilet paper because that's essential.
Wait, that's a feature?
Yes. It's called. Listen, this is an amenities. All right, let's go through this list before we get going here. You get a bath and a shower, accessible, carpeting, coffee, fire extinguisher, lockboxes, on demand cable channels, media, toilet paper, desk, hair dryer, radio, get a trash can.
I'm glad they included the trash can.
Body soap, City View.
City View. All right, fine. All right. So City let's keep going. Let's see where this goes.
I keep hitting this reserve thing. It's not working.
It's a lie.
Must be booked. Alarm clock, fold-up bed, telephone. After the first round of toilet paper, it's free. Toiletries, wake-up service.
All right.
And
it's not letting you book it, though?
No, apparently I'm not allowed. But I want to.
Is this the bait and switch over here? Unfortunately, yes, that price is correct, but those rooms are sold out.
You know what? Let's do this one. I think you might have to go to the site. All right, let's just go to the site. Gives a fuck.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe. The Marriott. Okay, Marriott. 3.7 stars out of 5,000 reviews. We're going to go with that one. I don't give a fuck.
Let's get the real cost of going to book a room.
Oh, I don't want to sign up for shit.
Ah, see, you can't even just get through. All right, there's some pricing. Is that a price?
$216 a night.
That sounds pretty reasonable for Super Bowl.
But it's not telling me what days I get to book. Booking.
Well, there is that, too. Yeah.
That part is a little weird.
Get those blackout dates, right?
Oh, I have to sign in for the dates? Fuck this. This tab bitch ain't working. Fuck it. Fuck all that. Just know, yeah. All right. I want to go to crime.
So beware. Beware. Beware of low-cost rooms that you apparently can't book all of a sudden.
There's a real estate tab. Let's do it. Rooms for rent in homes for rent near you. Huh. You got about 980 square feet for $1,500. Ugh. Ugh. Fuck all that. Featured news. Here we go. Let's do it. Are you waiting to see the impact of the latest rate cuts before buying a home? Experts predict no short-term relief. Short-term relief. I can talk. There's Powell right there. He's a little upset in the photo. Oh, sorry, Chris Cuomo. This is from MoneyWise. What do we got? Let's do some bullet points. Car insurance premiums in America are through the roof.
Hey, and hold on.
Getting worse.
Hold on. This tab thing. Wait. I gotta say something.
What you're saying is this segment is terrible.
No, it's not. It's not. We just couldn't book a room because apparently that price that they're advertising, they won't allow you to go further with.
Right.
Unless they get all your information and can verify whether or not you're worthy of getting that price.
Yes.
But what I was going to say, since you keep throwing jabs at Chris fucking Cuomo, what if you cited Chris Cuomo? Would his head explode?
Well, I mean, if this podcast had to reach, it probably would.
I mean, think about that, though. Would it create a feedback loop in his mind and he would just fucking glitch out? what would happen?
He'd probably...
These damn podcasters. And then they don't even... they cited me. Oh, what? Ah! I didn't say it. Oh! Can you imagine?
The only reason I'm doing this is because...
His circuitry would fry.
The only reason I'm doing it is because... It's hilarious in my mind.
Oh, anyway. Keep doing it. I'm fine with it.
And not only that, it's the dude contradicts himself.
He's a fucking talking head, man.
Because he sits there and he's saying he's there to balance out the space. He doesn't like that the podcasts are all profiting off of not being accurate. And then he makes fun of specific...
Do I have to bring up COVID?
I don't know.
Vaccine? All right. No.
But he brings up specific podcasters through description, which I think is weird. Like, he doesn't want to say it without saying it type shit. And when you listen to it, you just think, what the fuck are you doing?
Profiting?
Are you not in the space to make money? Don't tell me you're not.
Listen, Chris Cuomo, for all of this bullshit that he's spewing, will never live down that a comedian beat the shit out of him in a debate. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, he also got He also got smacked in the head a little bit when he did the one-on-one with Patrick Bet-David. And it's really hard for him to survive it because it's all on tape. Like,
right.
You said you were sick, but then you were caught at your house yelling at a bicyclist.
Right.
I mean, come on, dude. Then you say that you're COVID, free of COVID, and you're walking up from the basement and your kids are looking at you like you're an idiot because you've been up there before. And then you turn around and you say that you have long COVID, which contradicts the fact that you said you don't have COVID when you came up the steps.
Well, and also goes, and then the bullshit also goes against his initial news commentary during the pandemic when it happened about how everybody who, like, long COVID isn't a real thing, right? He said a lot of contradictory things.
Yeah.
That he never corrected or apologized for, that I could recall. But he wants to stand up on a soapbox and say that anybody who isn't legacy media is bullshit. And they're not worth being listened to, and they have nothing to say, and they're just a bunch of trolls just trying to profit.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, you're a fucking, you are a super troll. You are the troll of trolls in the media. That's what you were known for. Like, literally. And now you have a podcast where you're profiting on and then talking shit about other podcasters who are making a profit? Like, what is that?
Like I said, he's stepped on that rake and he keeps getting hit in the face.
Just like the cartoons. He's that guy.
He is Wile E. Coyote off the fucking cliff with the Acme bomb, not realizing he has the bomb. It's like, that's him.
Speaking of stepping on the rake, what do you think of Bernie Sanders lately with his bullshit being exposed about getting all this fucking money?
No. He did not directly take money from the CEOs.
I know. Okay, he took it from. There's a buffer.
This is another thing that this totally irritates the piss out of me with Democrats, and I hate that they like play with language. I did not take from CEO. I took from $27 from each working person. Where's the $27 coming from, Bernie? The CEO. If you're taking $27 from each pharmaceutical employee, you're taking $27 from the person that wrote the check to the fucker.
What the
fuck are you talking about?
It's the classic mob defense. It's not my gun. Well, whose gun is it? That's his gun. Well, who's he? I don't know. I never met him before.
it's the same shit with fucking everybody talking about George Soros. Fucking Alvin Bragg. I never took a penny. What was this organization you took money from again?
Right.
Oh, who wrote the check to those? Oh, so... You did take it from Soros.
I didn't go to me. They went to my foundation. Ah, cool. The foundation in which you get a salary from.
Right. Which came from?
Right.
So you did. Right. No, I didn't. God damn it. They do this shit all the time. And you're just like,
right?
Are you serious?
It's funny as hell, man.
It's like Bernie goes, I'm not worth $8 million.
My wife is. She's got all the money.
I'm the brokest senator.
A family. Okay. Let's not say you, Bernie. Your family got rich from talking against capitalism while also being involved in the capitalist system. Sell your product and make a profit. Does anyone ever stop and thought about that?
Or you sit there, or you ask them the question. You ask any of them, like, "Oh, I don't make that kind of money. It came from this and this." Where'd the $10 million book deal go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's right. I forgot.
Hold on. You didn't cash that check? Oh, where'd it go, though? I mean, the publisher wrote it to somebody.
I didn't earn a dime. My wife bought those six houses.
That lake house is not mine. It's my child's.
No. That's a trust. It's in a family trust. My wife owns a house, and we put those in a family trust.
Like the balls on these guys. It's like, what are you talking about?
Right. No, I agree with you, man.
All right, Chris Cuomo. This is from The Independent. A rare book dealer was accused by Don Henley of selling stolen Hotel California lyrics. And he's taking the Eagles co-founder to court.
How did he steal them?
I don't know.
How did the book dealer come into possession of these Hotel California lyrics?
I don't know.
Can't you also just get the lyrics online?
Don Henley said he stole it, and the book dealer is taking him to court saying, I didn't steal it.
I mean, is this verified fucking ink on papyrus paper? I mean, what is this?
I don't know, but Don Henley.
What makes this special?
What this tells me is Don Henley is broke and he needs money. A rare book dealer who was cleared of wrongdoing over an alleged plot to sell handwritten lyrics to songs from the Eagles' legendary Hotel California album, which the singer Don Henley claims had been stolen from him. Contends the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer knew all along the accusations were false, but pursued criminal charges anyway. So Don Henley's a bitch.
Wow.
He filed, he paid for a 32-page lawsuit and lost. Poor guy.
I mean, this, how are you going to even prove that?
I don't even know.
Right? How would you even be able to prove that? From who did he steal them from?
Me, Don Henley.
Those are my napkins. Those are my napkins. Shut up, dude.
The book guy, Glenn Horowitz, claims that Henley intentionally hid the truth from the cops and prosecutors and falsely portrayed the controversial bookseller as a crook in order to prevent the lyric sheets from being sold to others. The suit also lists longtime Eagles manager Irving Azoff as a defendant. Henley, on the other hand, has long argued that he always considered the lyrics to be his personal property and never intended to sell them or give them up. He told police and the DA of Manhattan District Attorney's Office that poet and author Ed Sanders, who the Eagles hired in 1979 to pen a never-published memoir about the band, had burglarized. Oh, okay, so the poem guy stole it.
I see what he's trying to get at, but what's special about these lyrics? Like, are they different from the actual lyrics? Or were they signed by Don Henley? Are they verified that, like, what ties them to be so valuable? What ties them to Don Henley or the Eagles to be so valuable? I don't get it. Because listen, you can buy the album.
But Horowitz bought and then resold the lyrics, contends in the complaint that Henley had in fact given them to Sanders before their working relationship ended. After the termination of the contract to write the book, Sanders, the poem guy, kept 11 notepads from Henley. Because I guess Henley gave him the notepads?
What's
his bullshit about the burglarization of his home?
I don't, yeah. I mean, was there a contractual agreement that he give the contents back? And if so, after all these years, why have you not gotten them back? Like, it's a simple call, right? Say, hey, I'm sorry this fell through. I'm going to need those notes back. And even then, what if the guy took pictures or made copies of it and go, hey, here's copies of these lyrics, and he sold them? Like, there's nothing that says he can't.
Well, the poem. Hold on.
It sounds like a bullshit case. That's why it was thrown out. That's why
it got thrown out. But I'm just tripping now because who's this guy? Ed Sanders is a poet and an author. Okay. So he's also a member of the underground band The Fugs?
It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. But he wrote a definitive book on the Manson family. So he said that he acquired these things.
Is Henley broke, though? Like, what's... Or is he just fucking trying to be relevant? What's going on with Don Henley?
Oh, we're closing the show with Don Henley.
Hotel fucking California, motherfucker. What's going on with this guy?
Horowitz's complaint says that Henley bogus allegations that he knew the lyrics had been unlawfully obtained exposed him to potential prison time, harmed his business, so the book guy lost $10 million. Oh, come on.
Let's see what his alleged net worth is. In 2012, his net worth was $200 million. Did he blow through that? We're in 2025, so what are we looking at?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know if he's broke. Maybe he's just one of those bitter fucks.
On the stand, Don Henley said, I always knew those lyrics were my property.
$250 million. Dude, he's got money. He gets residuals. Yeah, I mean, I can't understand. I can't understand why he would even pursue this. Let me see that picture. Hold on, I'm gonna come over there.
That's one of the lyric sheets. Oh, I can't blow it up anymore, but that's one of the lyric sheets.
All right, so a page ripped out of a Mead pad, written with red ink. That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, I guess there's a bunch of these, though.
Is there anything there that actually, like, verifies it's his property? Like, is there a verifiable signature? It's like, I don't see anything, any of that on there.
You would have to do handwriting analysis, I guess. But
reach much?
What's funny is this part, right? This paragraph right here, it's out of sequence of events, but I think it's interesting. The first stage of the dispute between Henley and Horowitz can be traced back to 2005, when Horowitz and rare bookseller John McWeeny, a one-time Horowitz employee who later drowned in a snorkeling accident, purchased the lyric sheet.
Sounds very Obama-ish.
Purchased the lyric sheets from Sanders for $50,000. In 2006, the complaint says McWeeny and Horowitz sold the lyrics for $80,000 to songwriter Jack Feldman, who sold them back in 2011 to Horowitz and McWeeny for the same $80,000 in order to offset debt he owed the pair. The same year, McWeeny began negotiating a sale of the lyrics to former Hall of Fame curator Craig Incardi, a rock memorabilia seller, Ed Kosansky. Fuck these names. Who ultimately brought them $65,000. We're not even breaking $100,000 for these lyrics.
I know.
What are we doing?
I know. I don't know. It sounds like throughout the years they lost money on the fucking letters. I mean, they went up to 80, but then came back down to 60. 64.
Four pages of the songs were later sold for $8,000. Like, what?
Don Henley, you're losing your value, bud.
But now Horowitz is suing him for being a bullshitter. And he wants $10
million. What the fuck? How do you go from something that's worth four pages of $8,000 to $10 million? Like, what are we doing?
Well, it started at $80,000, then went to $60,000 to
$50,000. Look, Don Henley is he mad? Is he mad? Like, okay, if these sold for $2 million, would he sue, or he'd be like, oh, like, look at that, I'm worth. People want my shit.
I
don't know. I don't know. You know.
Well, this
we're not rock stars, and we don't see it through the eyes of a rock star. I have no idea what the issue is.
Okay, so. I just skipped like 6,000 paragraphs. I'm on the end here. The judge, Curtis Farmer, knocked Henley's side for using attorney-client privilege to keep the evidence from public view, allowing them to obfuscate and hide information that they believed would be damaging. Following the truncated criminal trial, Henley sued two other fucking people to get lyric sheets back. The case was settled a month later, of course, confidential. Dude,
I don't know. Where was this story going?
Basically, it started out as Horowitz is suing him for being a bitch, and then in the middle, you get all the stuff I read, kind of the history.
See, why doesn't Cuomo attack these guys? It starts with the headline to draw you in, and then when you read through the story, it just fucking falls apart, and by the time you're done, like, what's the point of this story? Like, why report this?
The main point of this from the Independent is it's Don Henley, basically.
Cuomo, call out the Independent. This was bullshit story.
They have 1.3 million
followers.
This was
a bullshit story. It went nowhere. There was no real, like, they just could have done like a couple paragraphs. Not even that. A few statements like, Don Henley mad. He didn't make as much on the sale as he wanted.
Don Henley got bitch slapped for 40 years about lyrics.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what I would say.
I think the headline should have been Don Henley loses value and he's pissed about it.
I didn't think
nobody wants his shit.
I didn't think that the song Hotel California was that important to begin with.
I was never a giant Eagles fan in general. I never got the whole Eagles cult following thing. Like, do they have some good songs? Sure. Do they all know how to play? Are they good musicians?
Hold on. Is Don Henley the only writer?
I don't believe so.
So where are the other guys?
I don't know. I don't know.
They don't care enough?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even care about the Eagles enough to even tell you.
I don't even know
that way. I don't.
All right. Well, listen, kids. Episode 31 is in the bag. And
it's definitely in the bag.
We went around the horn there. We did a very mock Bert Kreischer bit. We mocked him for his tabs. And we might do that again. I don't know.
Yeah. That was fun.
Chris Cuomo kept getting referenced because we want to keep our sources as accurate as possible.
And you're sourcing Chris Cuomo and Cuomo asking for people to cite their sources.
I am trying to do what he's asked us. Asked of us.
Yes.
Podcast profiteers.
Yeah.
We figured out Don Henley's a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
We found out that women have their own version of porn.
That's legitimate for somehow. Somehow's okay. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I just coughed again. And we'll leave it there. We will try to do better in frequency in getting these out. He is George. I am Manuel. Later. I want to break your soul in two.